You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, whenever, wherever you may be listening from. I am John Vogel, and welcome into The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. So if that is something that you've been wanting to do, there's now an easy way to get started, and you can start to make money immediately, straight off the bat. So go to anchor.fm, check that out today. Welcome, guys, to this Thursday edition of The John Vogel Show. We have some interesting things to discuss today. I think we're going to start with a little bit of humor. And what I mean by humor is this really isn't that all that funny, but I suppose just with everything going on, it just came across as funnier as it should have been. So a report circulated yesterday that San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle had signed this massive 6-year, $96 million contract with the 49ers, extending him with the team. And it was reported by Sports Illustrated, Dove Kleiman, who's an independent NFL journalist and quote-unquote insider. He broke the news on his Twitter. He's all excited. He's got it, blah, blah, blah. Look at this. Look at how great I am. And then Kittle comes out and says, man, you believe in everything you've seen on the internet? So it was a false report. Kittle has not signed a massive extension, but as of about 3 minutes ago before I started recording, according to Bleacher Report that I saw, he is close to signing a long-term extension with the team. So this is an interesting little bit of a topic just because there are a couple tight ends across the league that are looking to get paid. Kittle is one of them. Zach Ertz with the Philadelphia Eagles is another that they're going to have to sign to a long-term extension at some point. Perfect situation for Ertz, because I don't think that's even really been on the table yet for the Eagles, re-signing him and getting him under contract. And Kittle's about to reset that market. Kittle and Ertz are among the top five tight ends in the league, in my opinion. Definitely top 10 according to everyone else, but I believe both of them are top five, probably up there with Travis Kelce. And fuck, I really don't care at this point. Those are the top three tight ends that pop in my mind when I think of tight end in this league right now. But anyways, interesting stuff as usual. It's your typical report type stuff. People trying to jump and be the first one on the story. And Dove Kleiman, he's got every reason to want to be the first one on the story because he's independent for a reason. We're just going to leave it at that. Anyways, hopefully everything is going well with you all. Things are kind of heating up and getting a little bit crazy in the Big Ten. What else did you expect? Apparently, there were several schools that were not happy with this decision to cancel football and all fall sports for that matter, but football in particular, because this is the big money-making sport in college athletics. And there's always been a fight, this power struggle, this inability to get along between the academic side of a university and the athletic side. And guess who is running the university? Well, I can tell you, I can assure you, it is not the athletic departments that are running the university. So basically, what we've been faced with is a lot of disgruntled coaches, a lot of disgruntled players, and some athletic directors that are frustrated because of all the work that had been done to ensure that this football season would happen. And all of a sudden, a month before it's supposed to be a go, the plug is pulled, it's canceled. Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren actually is trying his best to hold it together. Now, I think Kevin Warren will not be the athletic director very long. There were a couple things that rubbed people the wrong way in his press conference when he announced that the Big Ten was canceling their season. And I do firmly believe that these reasons, these things that he's being criticized for, are indeed things that he needs to be criticized for. Number one, Kevin Warren's son plays at Mississippi State University, plays football. As of now, the SEC has not canceled their season. The SEC is planning on moving forward. And Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, has made it very clear. We're going to take this very slowly. We're going to take it patiently. And we want this season to happen. We're a go. We're doing everything we can to make it happen. So the question was brought up because Warren's son is at Mississippi State, an SEC school, planning on playing. If he was going to pull his son off of the football team this year, Warren refused to answer the question. Look, Warren could have completely and utterly walked himself out of this beautifully, but he didn't. He could have said, yes, I am pulling my son out. It is unsafe for him to play. Warren could have allowed his son to play at that point, because at that point, it's super easy. You say, yeah, we had a family conversation and decided that it was best and it was safe for him to continue with what Mississippi State is doing. As a commissioner, I'm concerned about the Big Ten with some of the rumors that have come out from some of these other schools and the methods that they're using. So Warren could have done a wonderful job backing himself out of that and making sure that his son still plays. But no, he just refused to answer the question. And what that comes across as is he's a grown man. He can make his own damn decisions. Which obviously begs the question, well, why can't athletes in the Big Ten? Opting out has been one of the options that's been presented to college athletes here over the last few weeks. So far, three players had opted out of the Big Ten. The linebacker at Penn State, Micah Parsons, he wasn't going to play. Rashad Bateman, wide receiver, Minnesota. Rondale Moore, wide receiver, Purdue. Those are the three that had opted out at that point. Others were considered. Now they don't have a choice. There's a lot more here at stake than just not playing football this year. This could be a catastrophic hit in the recruiting side of things because you're not playing this year. Think about this. Unless you are in Alabama, in Ohio State, a school with that type of prestige, you don't recruit unless you're playing and playing well. So what we're looking at here is the potential for an exodus out of these teams, transfers. I guarantee you there's a lot of Big Ten guys. They're trying to figure out their options right now because there are a bunch of them that wanted to play, that needed to play this year in order to make their NFL dreams a reality. And the NCAA is talking about extending eligibility and everything else. But no decisions have been made on that. B, if that's going to happen, then there's going to have to be some sort of scholarship extension. Because schools are limited on the number of scholarships that they can have in hand. And you see, that's kind of the issue here. Is the fact that you've got all these guys that had that might not be welcome back on their team with this new recruiting class. That's a problem. Okay, because you can say, oh yeah, your scholarship, you're safe and everything, blah blah blah. But come a certain time of the year, that cutting day when they have to get their roster down to this many scholarship athletes, guess who's getting cut? It ain't the new guys. it is sure as hell not going to be the new guys. And that's the issue that's here, that these teams are facing. This is the Big Ten, and this is the Pac-12. So let's say that those two Power Five conferences, and that's, you know, the Mountain West is canceled, the Mid-American Conference is canceled, the MAC. Let's say that all of these schools that have canceled their seasons, or their conferences canceled their seasons for them. Let's say that they don't play, everyone else does. What are you going to do? Are you going to extend the scholarship number for those schools because, you know, and not the schools that played? Can you do that? Is that fair? No, not really, because now you're putting all these other teams at an advantage, because now they can have way more scholarship players. Whether that's for a couple years or a year or whatever, that's still a problem. You have this overflux of scholarship players up there. So what are you going to do? Start pulling scholarships? Start taking guys off of scholarship to keep them on the team, hoping they stay? There's a lot more here that was obviously not very well thought through. I think the Big Ten was expecting, and still may even be expecting now, everyone to follow suit and leave and not play football this year. If that happens, then this is a very easy fix. You're going to extend your scholarship number to whatever that may be. I think right now they can have 85 scholarships, so I guess you could extend that to 100 or whatever. You're going to find some out. You're still going to be cutting, guys. You're still going to be cutting scholarships, because you're not going to have enough. But regardless, if no one plays, it's easy at that point to keep everything fair. If these teams sit and the rest play, oh boy. Oh boy. You better be ready. You thought that Jim Harbaugh and coaches like him bitched a lot. Just wait until there is an unfair advantage that is pinned against them. Just wait. You hadn't seen anything yet. Anyways, with that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more to discuss, some NFL draft, as well as Nebraska and what's going on with them and the Big Ten. This and more on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back into the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. As mentioned before, if that's something that you want to do, go to anchor.fm. They set you up. They'll put it on all sorts of different platforms for you. Totally worth your time. Helps boost you getting your audience right off the bat. Super great. Anchor.fm today for more information regarding that if you want to start a podcast. So, all right, here's the ceremonious. Is it weird that when you get one of those 24-ounce monsters with the twist-off cap, that when you first pop that, you know, you pop the seal on it and you open it up, and there's that vapor that comes out. Is it weird that I smell that? Maybe. I inhale that. That stuff is, it's like an energy shot. So. All right. We'll get on to some football here. So, Nebraska is very upset about not playing football. The Big Ten canceling their season. Nebraska wants to play. Scott Frost is like, man, this is going to be our year. This is it. I don't know if that's what he's really saying. I'm just, you know, spitballing here. All right, but Scott Frost wants to play football this year. Nebraska wants to play football. They were the ones that started this whole, you know, if we're not going to play football this year, well, then we're going to go play football in another conference for a year. Kevin Warren. Big Ten commissioner. Man, we've been talking about him a lot. Everybody knows who this guy is now. And he's got to be one of the most disliked people on the planet. He's not been the commissioner very long. It's been a few months. when he went from literally nobody knowing who he is to everybody hates him. And did so rather quickly. Kevin Warren threatened Nebraska and said, if you leave and go play in another conference this year, we're going to kick you out of the Big Ten. And my reaction was, well, maybe that's what Nebraska wants. The Big 12 is making an incredible push. They want to make a push to get Nebraska and possibly another team. This would be very healthy for both the conference and Nebraska. Nebraska refuses to turn their offense to a spread offense. They will use spread type schemes within their offense, but they are exclusively a pro style offense. Nebraska geographically better fits in the Big 12 anyways. Now, the Big 12 has flirted with expansion before. It's been a thing that's been ongoing for a little while. And that's kind of the deal, all right, is that the last time they kind of flirted with this, they were talking about bringing on Houston and maybe UCF or somebody like that, and they ended up backing out of it because it just wasn't going to work. But let's just spitball here a little bit. Let's say Nebraska says, you know what? Fuck the Big Ten. We're out. We don't want any part of it. We're going to go to the Big 12. And the Big 12 says, great. Can we get anybody else? There is another team that I believe would potentially follow. They would leave the Big Ten. And that would be Iowa. Oh, goosebumps, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So Iowa plays Iowa State every year. It's one of the Midwest's biggest rivalries outside of the game. And it's usually the first couple weeks of the year. They're out of conference. It counts as an out-of-conference opponent. They play every year. Imagine putting those two in the same conference, in the same division. Then they're guaranteed to play every year. Because they're not going to play this year. Even if the Big Ten had gone through, they would not have played this year. Think about that. That's exciting. That right there would be fun. Now let's take Iowa out of the picture for a second. Go back, ship the focus back over to Nebraska. Because I like this idea too. Nebraska has a very deep tradition. They are traditionally a college football powerhouse. When Tom Osborne was the head coach, this team won several national championships. They were very good. Nebraska's kind of hard to recruit in right now. Because, you know, you're competing with the Big Ten. You're not an ideal location. Nebraska isn't exactly most kids' dream to go spend 4 years of their life. But if you move into the Big 12, you've got the potential. And when I say potential, I mean just general potential here. To become a powerful team again. Because you're going to have a better defense than most of the teams in that conference. And you're going to play a different style of offense. One that they are not quite accustomed to yet. So the chances of being able to be more successful are there. On top of a different recruiting cycle. And what I mean by that is, instead of recruiting saying, well, you want to go play Ohio State? No, I don't want to play against Ohio State. Are you kidding me? You've got, well, you want to go play against Texas? Hell yeah, I got a shot against Texas. Nebraska and Texas? Nebraska and Oklahoma? Ooh, those games used to be really good. Remember? Some of you older people, you'll remember. I hate to use that term, but it's been a while. Okay? Nebraska and Oklahoma. Nebraska and Texas. Nebraska. Nebraska would be a good fit there. Nebraska and Baylor. Think about something. Nebraska and West Virginia, the two misfits in the country, playing each other every year. Think about just how good that would be. And then if you really wanted to, you could probably swing in Houston and feature, you might be able to pull off a Texas conference and a North conference. You know what I'm saying? The potential here for success is there. And it's kind of exciting to think about. So, is Nebraska going to leave the Big Ten? I have no idea. I do happen to know that the Big Ten is definitely a much more attractive location in conference in terms of money and prestige than the Big 12 is. The Big 12 doesn't have its own network yet. The SEC, the Big Ten, and the ACC do. And the ACC, granted, they just got one. So the Big 12 really needs to get a TV network going, get some TV contracts, whether that be with ESPN or Fox. Seems like the ESPN networks do better than the Big Ten network does. But that's the thing here about Nebraska is that they might actually be looking to get out of the Big Ten. And think about how much better it could be for them and for college football if they get into the Big 12. Just a few thoughts. Thought that was pretty good to think about. All right. Here's a big thing to get into. Okay? This is something that is very controversial from what I understand. And it's that a lot of these guys that opted out that everyone immediately throws a first-round grade, there's a first-round player, are probably not first-round players. Let's talk about this for, because we have about 5 minutes where we can really get into this a little bit. The NFL, if you look traditionally, really only has about 20 first-round talents every year. A good year, you might see 25. Out of those talents, you know, there's 32 first-round picks. So there's more first-round selections than there are first-round talents. First-round talent is somebody you can plug in, you can play right away. It's kind of the way that it's structured. And you want to be able to use them in your team, have plans for them for the next several years. You know, because you're going to get a fifth-year option when you select them, so you want it to be somebody that, you know, you're going to exercise that fifth-year option as you work out a long-term deal with them. They're getting more money than any of the other rookies. In fact, sometimes more than a lot of your veterans. Joe Burrow's contract this year was approximately worth $10 million a year. Okay, so that's what you're kind of up against, all right? That's kind of what you're doing. When you're in the draft, is you've got about 20 guys that are first round every year. Because you have more selections, a lot of, you know, like these draft analysts, Twitter scouts, whatever you want to call them, they come in and they start looking at those other 12, you know, 10 to 12 guys that are going to be selected in the first round and start labeling them first round talent. And that's true after they've been drafted. They were drafted in the first round. That does make them a first round talent, but not necessarily from a scouting standpoint is that always true. So they start lumping these guys that are, you know, day two type talents in the first round, because there's a really good chance that they'll go there. And what happens is these Twitter guys and, you know, these analysts have 40 to 50 first round talents every year. So there is a clear distinction between an immediate impact player and someone who's going to impact a little bit later down the road. And because of that, you're not going to see guys immediately. There's not going to be that many first-round talents. There's not many guys that are plug and go in this, that enter this league. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the league. And I love this side. I love scouting. I love the NFL draft just because of this whole, the uncertainty with it, the work that goes into it, the study and the understanding. And I love seeing teams hit. And I love being able to hit on guys that I thought very highly of. It's all so much fun. But here's the thing. Caleb Farley, Gregory Rousseau, and Rashad Bateman, to me, are all guys that aren't necessarily first-round talent. Farley is probably the highest up. I think that there's a lot there, but teams are going to be worried about when he gets burned playing against better route runners. He's going to be, Eric Hindenburg mentioned this to me the other day at Draft Right. He's kind of like AJ Bouye. Great comp. Love that comp. I think that comp is incredible for Caleb Farley. He's a good number two corner. I wouldn't want to put him on a big speed receiver or a great route runner. Okay, we talked about Farley on this podcast right here on this show last week into quite some great detail. Rousseau, very long, not much on his frame, very lean. Doesn't have the strength to go up against NFL offensive linemen. Yes, production's there, but production doesn't always translate to the next level. Just think Charles Harris. And I'm not saying Gregory Rousseau is Charles Harris. I'm just saying Harris was very productive at the college level, not very productive at the NFL level. There's some things there that he needs to work on. Rousseau's a little bit better than that, I think. But production doesn't always mean success. Rashad Bateman, very good route runner, good athlete in a class with a lot of great athletes, a very deep positional class. Okay, so there's some things there with Bateman that I would be worried about as an NFL team. Great, great talent. Great talent. Don't get me wrong. Very good talent. Just not a great athlete. And there's a lot of great athletes that are coming in here with a lot of the same type technique and refined things that Bateman has. Bateman could be a late, all these guys could be a late first round pick, but that's not first round talent. Okay, that's the distinction. Anyways, we are about out of time for the day. And tomorrow we should be having a very good guest on the show talking about bunch of different stuff related to college sports and politics in sports, and hopefully it'll be a very good show, very good conversation, something to really get into. Until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the John Vogel Show, now being heard in 7 countries in 17 states across the United States. Be safe, be strong. God love you all. This is the John Vogel Show.